O God, who called all life into being, the earth, sea, and sky are yours.
Your presence is all around us.
Every atom is full of your energy. Your spirit enlivens all who walk the earth. With her, we yearn for justice to be done, for creation to be free from threat, for the hungry to be fed, for captives to be released, for your kingdom of peace to come on earth. Ngā mihi o te tau hau. Now, Happy New Year. Many of you may have been back, but this is our first time back this year, so it is great to be back in our community. Welcome to all of you who are regular attenders, and to those who are visiting today or testing us out. If this is your day church shopping because you're new to Wellington, then welcome also. We will be having morning tea in the hall after church this morning, so round outside, up the path and into the hall or through the north vestry, and all are welcome. The coffee is good and the service is excellent. Coffee service, that is. The rest is, you will find out. Kia ora tātou.
Wairua tapu. We live in a world overflowing with humanity. Each of us may feel overwhelmed by the issues facing us, but within the mass of others, it's often hard to imagine that we could take steps that might make a real difference to our own and others' lives. We need beacons of hope amongst us, such as those who find ways to make this world a better place. Today, we have a chance to celebrate some of these people. Help us to quieten our minds so that we can think about the individuals, both well-known and less so, who provide that beacon in our own lives, and consider ways that we might support them in their work. And as we do this, we need to ask ourselves if there are people around us who see in us a beacon of hope for themselves. What does that mean for us? We'll now join in the Jim Cotter version of the Jesus Prayer.
Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From the grip to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. It's time to light the Rainbow Room candle. We didn't bring our small children today. There's a bit too much excitement in our house with a fifth birthday party. So the thought of the girls running up down was a bit much. But I'm going to ask a recent birthday boy, when he's finished closing the door, if he would like to come and light the Rainbow Room candle. Alan turned 90 over the holidays. So Alan, will you come and light the candle that signifies inclusiveness for us? Because all of us have the spark of an inner child, don't we?
90 years young.
So we light this candle to symbolise the inclusive community that we welcome all in this community, especially in a special place for children. And the special place for children appears to be on holiday, so that's great. Thank you, Alan. We are going to be all our inner children today, but I won't do it from here, I'll do it from up the top, and Hamish is going to help me. So I've got a who am I, and we still need to have it. So, anyone know who this is? Martin Luther King. I did say when I was at Malvina Majors visiting my mother this week, they had a photo of Martin Luther King, and somebody said, is it Elvis Presley? But Martin Luther King, you're right. Know this one?
Lucinda.
Yes. Great. Next. Saraparananata, yes. I thought they looked quite... Saraparananata and Martin Luther King have quite a similarity, I thought, when I put them on the front of the order of service. Next one, Hamish. Yep. Yep, Dame Finna Cooper. I was going to put a photo of our son in there. Mark, our oldest son, has a picture of himself sitting at a computer where you can superimpose this version of Jesus. But I thought that it was a bit too tricky. But Jesus, yep. I think that's the end. So what do you think is a common thread amongst all of those people? Courage, yes. They're all quite visible. We were thinking about heroes and role models. And so we started today's service, as we usually do, by looking at the lectionary. And as we often do with the lectionary, looked at it and went, I really don't know what we're going to do with this. And the gospel reading was the wedding in Cana, and we struggled and struggled with the wedding in Cana. We looked at what Ken had done a couple of years ago, in 2019, and he talked about how Jesus knew how to have a good time. That's what the wedding in Cana showed us. I think I've summarised that quite well. Go and do likewise was the theme of that service. So I thought that had been done. We couldn't do that again. And then the other alternative was to look at Martin Luther King Day. So Martin Luther King, we started to talk around, and you'll see that in the reflection. But then it led us to think about who are the other people that we would consider to be heroes. So these were the ones that we thought that if there were any children in the community, they might have had a chance of knowing. Although when I tested it with our child, aged 33, it was interesting to see who she did and didn't know. So Kate Shepherd, yes, but not Dame Finna Cooper. And then when we talked about it, she knew of the Māori land marches, but of course she was quite small. We had found this book over Christmas, Kia Kaha, by Stacey and Morrison and Jeremy Sherlock, which is a storybook of Māori who changed the world. And it's got some really lovely pieces in, some of which we have used in the reflection. So if you're looking for a book, that are suitable for small and not so small people, I would recommend that. And if you really want to do a children's activity, I can give you an acrostic to do with either heroes or role models. But if not, we'll move on to passing the peace.
Just a comment about that book. It's got the most wonderful illustration of Patricia Gray by her niece. And I just love that. That alone was worthwhile for me.
Yes. So the role models in this book include very important people like Farah Palmer and Carmen as a performer and activist. So it's got their version of heroes and role models is quite interesting and quite diverse. So we thought about the diversity of heroes and role models and what the difference was. We will bless the children. So I'm going to ask you to stand because we're going to bless the children in their absence. For all of those in our community on summer holidays, and especially our children, we pray for fun, relaxation, and adventure. We bless you. Amen. And now we're going to pass the peace in our COVID peace way. So we invite you to greet each other by hand or hand over the heart.
The first reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, Psalm 36, verses 5 to 10. And your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. The gospel reading is Luke 4:16 to 21. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The contemporary reading begins with Aparana Tingata, who said, "E tipu e rea munga ra o to ao, grow up in the days destined to you." Dr. Napier Mahuika said, "This is the opening line of a famous saying in my tribe. For our people, Ngati Paro, these words have become embedded in our tribal identity as important directives that we are encouraged to aspire to." In the days destined to you, Ngata reminds us that each generation has its own mana or authority, our own responsibilities and challenges, our own dreams and destinies to fulfill, and our own histories to tell about Ngati Paro, who we are, our past, present, and future. If we consider this expectant, and I think hopeful, affirmation as a gift and responsibility, then taking real ownership of the days destined to us requires us to know what our forebears have entrusted us with. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
We live lives that are often all too small and short. The Venerable Bede, when speaking in a dining hall, wanted to illustrate this point to his neighbours, including the king. He looked up and his eyes followed the path of a sparrow as it flew in one door, across the hall and out another. He likened the time this took to the span of a human life. Small in stature, humans may be, and their lives a flicker of eternity. But people such as Martin Luther King can make a difference that changes the lives and perspectives of millions. He was far from perfect, visionary Saramah, but the stand he took resonated around the globe and through the decades.
Tomorrow will be a public holiday in the USA for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and actually the path to making that a public holiday is an interesting history lesson in itself. The commemoration date was chosen to be close to Martin Luther King's birthday on the 15th of January. Had he still been alive, King would have been turning 91 yesterday, so he would have been 91 today, just a little bit older than Alan. I wonder what 91-year-old Martin Luther King would make of the USA today. What about the rest of the world? And had he lived, what more could he have achieved? While possibly his most famous speech was the I Have a Dream speech in August 1968, there was more to Martin Luther King than one speech. His impact on civil rights, including the rights of all races, is legendary. He spoke about creating community. And this is the part that we wanted to focus on. He said, our goal is to create a beloved community, and this will require a qualitative change in our souls as well as a quantitative change in our lives. In preparing for today, we read around Martin Luther King and particularly enjoyed an article written in 2015 by Dwight Welch titled MLK's Progressive Christian Faith. Seemed appropriate for us. He points out that following King's postgraduate study, the centrality and dignity of personhood became the cornerstone of his thought. Welch also says, we are who we are because of our relations with others. Sociality precedes individuality. Racism is the very rejection of the makeup of the world and the forces that make us. Martin Luther King writes, he who works against community is working against the whole of creation. It was good to think about Martin Luther King, but as we noted in the earlier children's reflection, what happens when we think about New Zealand leaders, past and present, who support social justice and help New Zealand create, or perhaps recreate, a beloved community?
We started with a non-systematic and perhaps idiosyncratic look at those in New Zealand who stepped forward to take the cause of social justice forward in New Zealand, who we consider as role models or creators in our own beloved community. You will have seen from the children's talk that we focused on issues such as women's suffrage, rights of Māori, and equity. Here are a few of our choices. Sir Aparana Ngata. My mother, like many of her generation, had an autograph book collecting some notable names in the process. Often, the person would write a short sentence as well as their signature. In 1949, Ngata wrote in the autograph book of schoolgirl Rangi Bennett, turn your face to the sun and the shadows will be behind you. This could be a motto for all our community builders, our beacons. So Aparana Ngata was the first Māori to graduate from university. The fact that he became a lawyer is particularly impressive, given that that's one of the more difficult areas to aspire in for any person. He decided to use his legal education to become an MP and spent over 40 years in Parliament keeping Māori issues to the fore. Over those years, his views changed. This strikes us as normal. Our views have changed over the last 40 years, and I'm sure will continue to do so. In this time, he came to see the importance of uniquely Māori development, as opposed to his original way, which was more about assimilating Māori into the dominant culture. Ngata had an unwavering commitment to the Māori people. Unlike Martin Luther King, he was not a pacifist, but was active in supporting Māori and enlisting for World Wars I and II and the formation of the Māori Battalion. Part of his rationale, he says, was that by fighting alongside Pākehā soldiers, they would both command respect for Māori and create a sense of moral obligation for the returning soldiers. I'll just make a personal comment. when I was living in Gisborne, I was totally unaware that it was actually his son, Henare, across the fence from us. And we became quite close friends of that family. But as a child, I wasn't aware of the more major implications of it all.
All of us who are old enough will remember the pained and plodding Dame Fenna Cooper, determined to play her part in the land wars march, the hikoi. But what possessed this kuia to lead a land march at nearly 80? Fenna had held important roles, including becoming the first president of the Māori Women's Welfare League, where she had worked alongside Te Aparana Ngata. But by the 1970s, she had long retired from the national spotlight, and most would have said she had done her bit. But in 75, when she was asked to lead the march by Māori leaders, such was her mana that they asked her to lead. She'd been described as the mother of the nation when she stepped down from her Welfare League role. It would have been much easier to refuse, but there seems to have been no real choice for Dame Fenna in leading the march.
I've put one in here, Dame Heniwahi Mohi, because of my interest, A, in music, and B, because a lot of her story is about her child with profound cerebral palsy, and we'll play a song a little bit later about that. Dame Heniwahi Mohi came to national prominence as the first person to sing the national anthem in Te Reo in the UK in 1999. All interviews with Heniwahi show a very mild person who weathered the storm of protest and now says she welcomed this opportunity. It's certainly hard to remember just how controversial this was just over 20 years ago. Soon we'll play her song in tribute to her daughter. She has severe cerebral palsy. Heniwahi combined her love for her daughter and her passion for music, even taking Hine on at least one tour, just one of the many ways in which Dame Heniwahi acts out her dream. And I just comment that for those of you who are aware that the singer Lord translated some songs and also worked with a group to come up with new ones just last year, Heniwahi Mohi was very much central as one of the key supporting figures. And she and others really interrogated Lord about the meaning behind her lyrics, which perhaps were written for pop culture. But as a result, the lyrics translation reflects much more her truer meaning.
Ashley Bloomfield and Susie Wiles, you both got them very quickly. Very contemporary names. And 2 years ago, probably few outside of the Ministry of Health or academic institutions would have known them. Today, their faces are recognisable. Ashley's an unlikely superhero. I worked with Ashley first more than 20 years ago when he was in public health unit and I was in ALAC. He's probably the first to say he's an unlikely superhero. In 2020, he gained a cult following of having a picture on tea towels as a symbol of being a cult hero. Susie's enthusiasm for communicating what anxious people really needed to know about COVID and her courage in dressing and wearing her hair flamboyantly, in short, being a person who was totally present in this pivotal role, despite the misogynist trolling that she was subjected to. They have both brought their knowledge and scientific approach to the management of COVID in a way that did in fact bring the New Zealand population mostly willingly along that COVID journey with less loss of life than many other countries experienced.
We couldn't have done this without acknowledgement of Lloyd. Many of you will know Lloyd far better, far, far better than we do. But we have in our midst a man who, in trying to simply and honestly explain what he understood about Christianity and the place of religion in general, became a figure of tremendous controversy and the subject of Presbyterianism's last heresy trial in 1967. Two things added to our personal picture. The first is the contrast between the autobiographies of two great thinkers, Lloyd Gehring and Jack Spong,
We were struck by the far greater humility and equanimity in Lloyd's writings, whereas Spong seemed to be frequently still scoring points from long ago battles. I think in one of them, the ego stalking through the pages was far more evident. The second thing, our running joke, that we still have 40 years to become as incisive at speaking and as cogent at writing as Lloyd, given that he's now past his 100 and we're in our 60s. Many of the people who are out there, and most of the people you might think of as your own beacons, are not public figures. I thought of one parent, I worked through my special needs years, who had no less than 4 boys with Fragile X syndrome. Fragile X leads to intellectual disability, quite a few autistic features and quite a few sensory features, which are also make it a little bit like walking through a minefield. For most parents, finding they have one child with an intellectual disability is not just a shock, but transforms their lives. This person made the choice, knowing that Fragile X is a genetic disorder, to keep on having children, dealing with the consequences, and with a tremendous vitality. She became a beacon for others in that community in Christchurch in a wonderful way, and that's simply by getting up in the morning and giving her every last bit of energy to her boys and to developing those boys as people to move into society.
As part of the search for our new minister, we had to write a parish profile. You may recall this profile, which we agreed at a special general meeting in 2019. Doesn't that take you back to how long it has taken us in our search? Our profile says that we describe ourselves as a progressive church and that the 8 points of progressive Christianity resonate for many of us. Well, they certainly do for Tony and I. We thought that each of these people could demonstrate by their words and their actions some of those 8 points, particularly point 3 about an inclusive community, point 4, the way we behave with others is the fullest expression of what we believe, point 6, striving for peace and justice, point 8, committed to lifelong learning, compassion and selfless love. And of course, from our own tradition, we must include Jesus. The reading we chose from Luke suggests that Jesus did not shy away from his mission. He caught his dream. In the temple in his hometown, he took Isaiah's dream and proclaimed it as his own. 2,000 years on, the words and actions of Jesus still inspire, still continue to show us a way to be better people, and that we too can capture the dream. The contemporary reading from Nepia Mawika, and thank you, John, for reading it so well, E tipu iria mōna rā o te ao, grow up in the days destined to you. Each generation, he says, has its own mana, our own dreams, responsibilities and challenges. We like the ways he said this expectant and hopeful affirmation is a gift and a responsibility. It's not a challenge or a threat, but it's a gift. It's also a responsibility. For us to make use of this gift, we have to look to our past, the people of our own and other cultures who lead and inspire us, as we too look to live out our dream of making a better community. The psalmist said, "Because of your light, we see the light." We think we see the light of something beyond ourselves in all of those people, the light of the holy. Those people reminded us of the words of the Jim Strathdee hymn that we sing later, that the actual work of Christmas only really starts from now.
song. It was on the Oceania One album, which was done with support of people more in sort of the electronic area. But the name we've put on there, apologies, is the one name. It's not the two, but you find that both on Spotify and also on YouTube, which has the benefit, and we didn't quite have the technology today, of video of Hine herself, and that's quite special. So I really would exhort you to have a look at that video.
Now time for the offering.
Gracious God, you have blessed us with so many good things.
May these gifts from us be used to open the doors of welcome for all people, so they too may experience the joy of abundance and unity. Amen. Thank you. This is the part in the service where we welcome the life and community of St Andrews. So anyone who's got a notice, they'd like to come up to the front and we will start. Lynn, do you want to start? Because I presume you're going to talk about Adelina.
Kia ora tātou, Lynn Dovey. I know many of you are going to ask me this, so I thought it was probably best if I just tell everybody we haven't heard from Presbytery at this stage. They began their process last Monday, 10th of January, even though we managed to get everything to them immediately after our vote. So I guess we've just struck the summer holidays. So I know Reg has phoned Peter McKenzie, and as soon as we hear anything, I promise I'll be letting you know. Thank you. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say, that was a piece of non-news. This is a piece of not-so-good news. Adelina Rice, our facilities manager, lost her dad in Hong Kong this last week. He died suddenly, and she, like so many people, is struggling with the distance, the problem of not being able to go, and it's a very, very sad time for her. So she is not going to be in the office much this week. She probably will work from home towards the end of the week. So if you need to get in touch with her, I suggest you email her. But otherwise, Jolene will be in the office and from tomorrow, and we will be sort of running a little bit less than full strength for the next week.
Good morning, Graham Howell. Just thought I'd relay some good news that one of the busker's beggars who's been doing that work for a very, very long time told me with great glee that just before Christmas a complete stranger gave him $500. I think that's a sign of incredible love and Christmas spirit.
Morning everyone, my name's Fiona McDougall and I'm here just to let you know that our Lectio Divina group is starting again on Tuesday at 7 o'clock up in the Rainbow Room. During this group we have a 20 minute period of silent meditation and then we contemplate a poem or a passage and have a little bit of talking about what that means to us. It's a very simple process. If you come along and you haven't done it before, we've got a sheet of guidelines. You can start from scratch. I hope to see some of you then.
I'm Kath Kerr, and last week I mentioned the activities on in the garden for the summer. I've just been reminded again today of them. There is, those of you who'd like to take your grandchildren or children, or yourselves, there is a walk through the gardens. I think this must be instead of their concerts, so they have some people can keep their distance. But there's all sorts of things there, as I mentioned, the takahi in the main gardens, as well as lots of lights and curved mirrors and various things like that. I think there's a fairy garden somewhere too, if you can hunt round and find it, but there are instructions there. So if you have some time, a picnic there would be lovely for you. Thank you.
Our grandchildren loved it. It was a great hit.
Good morning, Frank Cook. I've got this book for the library. It's More Than a Roof. You may have seen it in the paper. It's in keeping with our responsibilities towards social justice and housing people, and it's a collection of poems, including one by Trish McBride, of well-known poets and first-time poets, people for whom English is a second language, and it's very moving, and it really does give a great insight into more than a roof, what a home really should be.
So we come to the prayers of the people. Let us pray. Spirit of vision and dreams, you enliven us and bring us fresh energy in this new year, refreshing us in our tiredness and lighting sparks of hope. As we slowly return from our holidays and our resting, may we be inspired to connect with each other and our world in new ways, to see the inherent dignity and worth in each human being, to appreciate the sustenance of the earth, to remember to be still and find the quiet center in ourselves. Today we give thanks for those who have caught the vision, the peacemakers, and those who support dialogue, diplomacy, and non-violence. Those who give care to the forgotten and discarded. Therapists and actors, yoga and te reo teachers, and pastoral visitors in prisons. Those who bring healing and help to war-torn communities through volunteer programs. Doctors, nurses, engineers, builders, all kinds of people who give up their time to support those whose lives have been shattered by violence. And today we hold in our hearts those who are especially worn down by the work. Nurses and doctors who were drawn to healing professions, getting sick themselves and fighting daily to keep people alive during this time of COVID, now into the third year. We pray for a greater access to vaccinations, for vaccine manufacturing and distribution to be supported by wealthier countries, so that our vision of God's commonwealth of peace and freedom, which we pray for each week, may become a reality. This morning, we're especially aware of the people of Tonga, and we pray for safety for all and support as communities rebuild and recover. And in our book of prayer this morning, we pray today for Adelina, our centre manager, whose beloved father died suddenly in Hong Kong this week. We grieve with her and pray for all of her family in New Zealand and Hong Kong as they farewell her dad. In our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Malaysia and Brunei, and we pray for understanding between people of different faiths and religions. We hold all refugees in our hearts. We pray in particular for those detained for many years in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. We give thanks for progress that has been made and pray that their calls for justice might yet find a compassionate response. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Angie Warren Clark and Helen White List MPs. Here in the central presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Foxton Shannon Cooperating Church. We bring our prayers to a close with the prayer for St. Andrews. If you're visiting with us today, please make this a prayer for your community as well as for ours. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow the way of Jesus, and new bonds of love with people of other faiths. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
May the God of peace inspire us.
May the God of justice empower us.
May the God of hope encourage us as we seek to live out the dream of justice, peace, and equality.